Welcome to day 87 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 1 Samuel 19 to 21. Jonathan intercedes for David. Saul spoke with his son Jonathan and with all his servants about killing David. But Saul's son Jonathan took great delight in David. Jonathan told David, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore, be on guard tomorrow morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you." Jonathan spoke well of David to his father Saul, saying to him, "The king should not sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have been of good service to you. For he took his life in his hand when he attacked the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against an innocent person by killing David without cause?" Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan. Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he will not be put to death." So Jonathan called David and related all these things to him. Jonathan then brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. Michal helps David escape from Saul. Again, there was war, and David went out to fight the Philistines. He launched a heavy attack on them so that they fled before him. Then an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand while David was playing music. Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he eluded Saul so that he struck the spear into the wall. David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to keep watch over him, planning to kill him in the morning. David's wife, Michal, told him, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through the window. He fled away and escaped. Michal took an idol and laid it on the bed. She put a net of goat's hair on it and covered it with the clothes. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Then Saul sent the messengers to see David for themselves. He said, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him." When the messengers came in, the idol was in the bed with a covering of goat's hair on its head. Saul said to Michal, "Why do you deceive me like this and let my enemy go so that he has escaped?" Michal answered Saul. He said to me, "Let me go. Why should I kill you?" David joined Samuel in Ramah. Now David fled and escaped. He came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. He and Samuel went and settled at Naioth. Saul was told, "David is at Naioth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. When they saw the company of the prophets in a frenzy and Samuel standing in charge of them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also fell into a prophetic frenzy. When Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they also fell into a frenzy. Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also fell into a frenzy. Then he himself went to Ramah. He came to the great well that is in Succoth, and he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" And someone said, "They are at Naioth in Ramah." He went there towards Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him. As he was going, he fell into a prophetic frenzy until he came to Naioth in Ramah. He too stripped off his clothes, and he too fell into a frenzy before Samuel. He lay naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, it is said, is Saul also among the prophets? The friendship of David and Jonathan. David fled from Naioth in Ramah. He came before Jonathan and said, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin against your father that he is trying to take my life?" He said to him, "Far from it, you shall not die. My father does nothing either great or small without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me? Never." But David also swore, "Your father knows well that you like me, and he thinks, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, or he will be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, there is but a step between me and death. Then Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." David said to Jonathan, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and I shall not fail to sit with the king at the meal, but let me go so that I may hide in the field until the third evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly asked leave of me to run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family.' If he says, 'Good,' it will be well with your servant. But if he is angry, and then know that evil has been determined by him. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a sacred covenant with you. But if there is guilt in me, kill me yourself. Why should you bring me to your father?" Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. If I knew that it was decided by my father that evil should come upon you, would I not tell you?" Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me if your father answers you harshly?" Jonathan replied to David, "Come, let us go out into the field." So they both went out into the field. Jonathan said to David, "By the Lord, the God of Israel, when I have sounded out my father about this time tomorrow or on the third day, if he is well disposed towards David, should I not then send and disclose it to you? But if my father intends to do you harm, the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also, if I do not disclose it to you and send you away so that you may go in safety. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. If I am still alive, show me the faithful love of the Lord. But if I die, never cut off your faithful love from my house, even if the Lord were to cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." Thus Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord seek out the enemies of David." Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own life. Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is the new moon. You will be missed because your place will be empty. On the day after tomorrow, you shall go a long way down. Go to the place where you hid yourself earlier and remain behind this beside the stone there. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it, as though I shot at a mark. Then I will send the boy, saying, 'Go, find the arrows.' If I say to the boy, 'Look, the arrows are on this side of you, collect them,' then you are to come, for as the Lord lives, it is safe for you, and there is no danger. But if I say to the young man, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you,' then go, for the Lord has sent you away. As for the matter about which you and I have spoken, the Lord be between you and me forever." So David hid himself in the field. When the new moon came, the king sat at the feast to eat. The king sat upon his seat as at other times, upon the seat by the wall. Jonathan stood while Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, "Something has befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean." But on the second day, the day after the new moon, David's place was empty, and Saul said to his son Jonathan, "Why has the son of Jesse not come to the feast, either yesterday or today?" Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, for our family is holding a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there.' So now I have found favor in your sight. Let me get away and see my brothers. For this reason, he has not come to the king's table." Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said to him, "You son of a rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives upon the earth, neither you nor the kingdom shall be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." Then Jonathan answered his father, Saul, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" But Saul threw his spear at him to strike him. So Jonathan knew that it was the decision of his father to put David to death. Jonathan sprang up from the table in fierce anger and ate no food on the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David and because his father had disgraced him. In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field to the appointment with David, and with him was a little boy. He said to the boy, "Run and find the arrows that I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called after the boy and said, "Is the arrow not beyond you?" Jonathan called after the boy, "Hurry, be quick, do not linger." So Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master, but the boy knew nothing, only Jonathan and David knew the arrangement. Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said to him, "Go and carry them to the city." As soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He bowed three times, and they kissed each other and wept with each other. David wept the more. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since both of us have sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever.'" He got up and left, and Jonathan went into the city. David and the Holy Bread. David came to Nob to the priest Amalek. Anamelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" David said to the priest Ahimelech, the king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'No one must know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such as such a place. Now then, what have you at hand? Give me five loaves of bread or whatever is here." The priest answered David, "I have no ordinary bread at hand, only holy bread, provided that the young men have kept themselves from women." David answered the priest, "Indeed, women have been kept from us as always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy, even when it is a common journey. How much more today will the vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there except the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. David said to Amalek, "There is no spear or sword here with you. I did not bring my sword or my weapons with me because the king's business required haste." The priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here wrapped in a cloth behind this ephod. If you take that, take it, for there is none here except that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." David flees to Gath. David rose and fled that day from Saul. He went to King Achish of Gath. The servant of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of King Achish of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them. He pretended to be mad when in their presence. He scratched marks on the door of the gate, and he let his spittle run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see, the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We see the continued jealousy and hatred that Saul feels towards David. How has jealousy and a desire for the accomplishments of others caused you pain and created conflict? Saul is estranged from his son over his treatment of David. How does comparison keep us from following God's will for our lives? Now let's move to Revelation 4-6. The heavenly worship. After this, I looked, and there in heaven a door stood open. And the first voice, which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne with one seat on the throne. And the one seated there looked like jasper and carnelian, and around the throne is a rainbow that looked like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones. Seated on the thrones are 24 elders, dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their head. Coming from the throne are thrashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne burn seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne there is something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. And the first creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face like a human, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing, they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." The scroll and the lamb. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that all he can open the scrolls and its seven seals." Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. Then he had taken the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints for every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I look and I heard the voices of the angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The seven seals. Then I saw the Lamb break one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures call out as with a voice of thunder, "Come." It looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, a crown given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people will slaughter one another, and he was given a great sword. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature call out, "Come." I look, and there was a black horse. Its riders held a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's pay and three quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the olive oil and the wine." When he broke the fourth seal and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature call out, "Come," I looked and there was a pale green horse. Its rider name was Death, and Hades followed with him. They were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and pestilence, and by the wild animals of the earth. When he broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered for the word of God and for the testimony they had given. They cried out with a loud voice, "Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge and avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth?" They were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number would be complete, both of their fellow servants and of their brothers and sisters who were soon to be killed as they themselves had been killed. When he broke the sixth seal, I looked, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree drops its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll rolling itself up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the magnates and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The imagery of Revelation connects the patterns of the Hebrew Bible with the prophecy of Jesus as Savior. It is helpful to look for the callbacks and to recognize that it is the Lamb, it is Christ, who can open the scroll. It is the way of Christ that brings us forward. Let us end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.